And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. As always, I am your host, Yo. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Just a quick note, Jimmy Needham just about to hit the stage. It's not really a stage. It's the concrete right in front of our baptismal out here. He's going to be doing a concert tonight. So you can come on down if you want to and enjoy a free concert with Jimmy Needham. And like I said, he just walked out as we were walking in. And so he's just about to get started. And then also a note, on Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday at the Lobo Theater, Need to Breathe in concert. It's just $5. All the proceeds benefit M88. And so it's just $5 at the door. Just come on down, pick up your tickets for $5 and join us for a concert with Need to Breathe. And that should be a great time as well. And again, that's Tuesday night. For more details on all the stuff that's happening with M88, be sure to check out M88.org. Well, tonight, since it's kind of the beginning of summer, I thought what we should do is talk a little bit about what to do with our summer vacation. And the people I thought of to help me do that are Gerald and Lisa Martinez from Joshua's Vineyard. And you might recognize them from TV. They're big TV stars. And they were on Extreme Makeover Home Edition not too long ago. When did that episode air?
27th of April.
27th of April, that's right. And so if you remember that episode of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, that's these people, not real-life celebrities in studio, not radio celebrities, but TV celebrities. And also, you know, they run a great ministry, and we talked with you guys not too long after you did your little TV appearance, and that got me thinking a lot because, you know, some of the things that you're saying about, you know, putting God's love into action and demonstrating the gospel and those types of things really got me thinking, and I wanted to bring you guys back for a whole Raw Talk on that to discuss that. And so that's why Gerald and Lisa are here tonight on Raw Talk. So thank you so much, guys, for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, why don't you tell people a little bit about Joshua's Vineyard, what it is, how it got started.
Joshua's Vineyard is about 7 years old. We are located in the area that was once known as the war zone of Albuquerque. Lots of gunfights, you know, those kinds of things used to be pretty common in that neighborhood. And we felt that we were supposed to come in there and be a part of the solution to the problem. And so we've just kind of been plowing the ground for 7 years and just doing our very best to try to make a difference, you know, just doing our part. And we're part of the Vineyard system of churches. There's about 1,600 churches around the country and around the world. And we're just glad to be here, and we're glad to be a part of what you're doing, and we're glad to be part of the body of Christ with you.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lisa, you can just jump in and talk into your own microphone. You don't have to tell Gerald to do all the work. Feel free to join in that conversation.
I usually butt in a lot, so I'm trying to be polite.
No, that's fine. They call it Raw Talk for a reason, so just okay. You know, you can butt in however much you want to do. I have to say, and I'm sure there's some people who are thinking the same thing, you know, that's kind of gutsy to say, oh, wow, the war zone really needs to hear the gospel. Let's move in there and go down there and do that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people right now who are thinking, I could never do that. I would never be comfortable. I'm not strong enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not, you know, not enough. And the reason I bring this up, because you guys will laugh, but I was playing this video game earlier this evening, and it got me thinking about in 1 Corinthians where it talks about God uses the foolish things to shame the wise. Because in this video game, you join this ragtag group of soldiers. They're a bunch of misfits. They're the rejects. And
right.
And the army is just using them in this game to go out and do the missions that no one else will do. Well, you know, as storylines go, you know they're eventually going to be the heroes. And,
yeah,
you know, they're going to overcome all odds because you, the player, are playing the game, and most video games don't have you lose. So so you kind of know that they're going to win. I haven't gotten too far in it yet, but it got me thinking about how often that's the way people think. Like, I'm a misfit. I'm a reject. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not strong enough. I could never do anything like that. And we like to go to movies. We like to play video games,
right,
where we see someone else,
right,
overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But we ourselves think, well, I could never do that.
Yeah.
What would you tell people who are thinking that, hearing, you know, you guys, mm-hmm, oh, let's move down to the war zone
go
and
to
minister?
More movies.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know what? You know what? You just described Gerald Martinez.
Oh, really?
You just totally described him, because I am unable. I am just a silly little man that's just trying to serve God. You know what I mean? And we want to have a good time in the process, but you know what? It's only God's wisdom and mercy that has ever done anything good through my life. You know, and I know that Skip, you know, one of his themes, one of his scriptures has been in the past, you know, that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Mm-hmm. You know, and so just this, I'm just a simple man that is just doing his very best to try to please God.
Even simple people can be obedient.
Hmm.
You know, I think that's all we really did was be obedient, and God did the rest.
That's cool, because I know a lot of people think that you need more than that to go out and to minister.
Because once you get to know us, we would confirm that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was just, again, it was funny that it came up while I was playing a video game, but it was...
Yeah,
it was
is that the one where you can choose to do good things or bad things?
No, that's a different one.
Oh, okay. Levi was telling me about that one. He said he was so tempted to...
No, this is one where you're just a soldier and you shoot stuff.
Okay.
But, it got me thinking, and, oddly enough, I was playing a video game to prepare for Raw Talk, and it got me thinking about deep spiritual issues. Kids, don't try this at home. But it was very interesting, because I was thinking that thought applies to so many of us. Like, well, I'm not good enough. I'm just a reject. And it was encouraging to me, just as a reminder, I am not good enough, like you were saying, Gerald.
Well,
but
how else can we really see what God can do unless he uses us in the places where we know it's not us? That's, to me, really fun. I mean, I don't necessarily like it. It doesn't feel good when I'm failing or looking stupid, but then in the end, I feel so close to him because then I see he really is real. And he's involved in my life, and he cares about his work.
It's always nice when when something is done, and people look at it, and they have to say, "Well, obviously, it must be God, because I know it couldn't be that guy."
Exactly. Yeah.
I know that guy. There's no way he could do something like that.
You know, and that's how we live. Our life has been really a testimony of that, because when I first took the church, and everyone saw that it was in that neighborhood, people were really scared to come to church there. I mean, you know, moms would not let their little boys and girls come to that church because it's in that neighborhood. So we had a lot of battle just in those areas. But everybody used to say, he's not going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a chance. You know, I mean, do you know him? You know, kind of a thing, you know. And you know, I would say, you know what? Without God, who can make it?
Right.
I mean, I don't care if you're the best preacher on the planet. Without God, you're not going to succeed.
That's actually one of the things I've been bringing back more to M88, you know, just to remind ourselves, you know, as a station, without God, we're not going to succeed at what we do. And it's so easy to get caught up with everything else that we have to get done that we can leave God out of the equation. Now, real quick, let's talk about your extreme makeover experience, because I know people are always curious about that, and they're always excited, and that, wow, that came to Albuquerque. So tell us a little bit, you know, do a little quick recap how that all came about and what that experience was like.
Okay, first of all, we didn't nominate ourselves. We had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Someone else in one of our fine churches in our city, a big church in town, said the extreme people called them and said, do you know of a family that is helping others to climb this ladder who could use some help? And so, of course, our name came up, you know, and so they called us on a Friday night and said, hey, we're from Hollywood and we would like to come and see you tomorrow if we fly in tomorrow.
All right.
That's pretty surreal.
Yeah, they said, if we fly in tomorrow, would you let us come and spend some time with you? And I said, well, who are you? You know, and they really didn't want to disclose that, you know, because, you know, just, hey, you know, 100 people will be at our house, you know, kind of a thing, you know. You know, and so the next day they show up with their cameras and with all this other stuff.
It was two people and a camera.
Yeah, really? you know, and we did the opening and the closing of this thing, and then we didn't hear for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we didn't know if it was going to happen, if it wasn't going to happen. And then the explosion came. Our lives literally got turned upside down, and we're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, we're still trying to figure it out. But they came into our neighborhood, and they continued with the process of seeing a neighborhood transformed. We believe that God wants to transform that neighborhood into what Lisa calls a Mayberry.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I need to learn to cook like Aunt Bee.
They have classes online for that,
okay,
I think.
Okay.
Now, what has changed since that's happened? I mean, how has the extreme makeover of the place where you guys minister, where you live, that spot in the middle of that neighborhood? Because I know a lot of people are saying, okay, they just built this amazing new house in the middle of the war zone.
Yeah.
How long is that going to last before it's full of bullet holes and get graffitied and tore down? I mean, have you had those concerns? How has the ministry changed since this has happened?
No, because the neighborhood knows it's their house too. It represents them. They believe in what it stands for, hope, Jesus, and it excites them because they know that they come over and they talk to us, and when we sit in the front yard and I pray with them, and it's really opened up a lot of opportunity to be real with our neighbors who you know, two blocks over, maybe I never would have talked to.
Right.
You know, some of the more gutsy ones will come up to the door and knock on the door and say, "Can you pray for me?" And I'm like, "Yeah." It's, so we go out there and do that.
You know, we get to meet all these wonderful little grandmas.
Yeah.
You know, little grandmas and grandpas come by and they just say, "We're proud of you guys."
Give us a thumbs up.
Yeah, you know, we're proud of you guys. You know, and so we have been in God's good favor.
Cool.
You know, I mean, you know, we have been allowed a window into people's hearts. And we really want to be faithful.
Yeah, you
to
would
that.
Have never invited us on the radio. I mean, what? Okay, I'm sorry. What does that mean?
And now that I've been put on the spot.
You said it was
raw
talk.
That's right. I wouldn't have. Yeah, look at us. You know, I would have been like,
we're just so much more interesting.
You guys
now.
Could have called and said, "Hey, we're from Joshua's Vineyard. Do you want to be on your show?" You're who? Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you know. What do you do?
What do you do? Maybe I'll think about it, and then I'd never get back to you. 505-338-5790. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to contribute to tonight's conversation, what we're talking about is how can we put God's love into action? How can we display the gospel? It's actually something that we've been talking a lot about. As the DJs here, we've been doing a book about evangelism, and it's not like, you know, a how-to evangelism book. It's like, just be real. Just be yourself. Don't worry about closing the deal.
Yeah.
And it's been really good because it's been interesting watching the other guys. I'm sure they're listening right now, and I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but, you know, they've
What's
had...
Your names?
They've had their questions about it. Like, well, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I agree with this. You know, we've had great discussions about it. But as I've watched them, I've seen the impact that it has, where it's kind of taken the edge off evangelism, and you see them more just connecting with people.
Yeah.
They're not so worried about...
you're not going to save them anyway.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And then they're not worried about, oh, I got to close the deal and make sure they say the prayer.
Right.
We've all kind of come to this point where we're just more interested in actually talking with people and hearing what they have to say. And one of the things that this book that we've been reading has been pointing out is one of the most precious things that you can give people is your attention.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Free attention giveaways.
And to actually listen to
right.
what they're saying.
Right. And it's
That's
been
challenging.
It is. It really is. And we realize we've been so self-absorbed because
mm-hmm.
we're doing quote-unquote ministry.
Right.
And then we miss
it. It becomes
these.
A one-way conversation.
Right. Because we want to close the deal.
Yeah.
We want to, you know, get them into heaven, and we have this step-by-step process,
yeah.
and we take them through those steps, and then, okay, you ready to say the prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, because you haven't met their own personal needs. So it's been a good experience to go through that, and it was kind of coincidental because we've been going through that, and that's when I met you guys, and I was saying, well, these guys are kind of the epitome of that, you know, listening to your stories where, you know, people just come up to your door and say, "Hey, will you pray for me?" I remember.
For someone to say, "Can you pray for me?" And then I got an email the other day of somebody that said, "I was brought up in this certain religion, and I think that I misunderstood some things. Can you show me what salvation means?" I'm like, oh, my gosh.
There's an open door.
Yeah. Okay. So she did. She came to one of our women's brunches, and what an amazing woman. I mean.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think you were talking on Peter Benson's show on our sister station about how you just can't help it when you see people out in the street, out in
yeah.
front of your house, that you want to go out there and talk with them.
Uh-huh.
Take them a cold drink, take them, you know, maybe they'll, well, I'll let you tell it. I mean, that was a great little story and got me thinking about
it. Which one was that?
That was the one where, you know, the drunk people walk by the house and you want
yeah.
to go out and say hi anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you want me to tell it
yeah,
now?
Yeah,
okay, well, save
it for later after the show.
Okay, I thought you had a commercial or something.
No.
Okay, they, these two young women, this is just one of many situations.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, there's a lot of traffic on the front of our house now.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, and it, you know, early in the morning, these two young women were walking by, and one of them actually was high. She was pretty high. They'd been up all night long. And I was watching her from my kitchen window, and I started praying for them, and I thought, okay, Lord, do you want me to go out there or not? Because sometimes he says no. And she was just swearing, and she... Should I tell him what she did?
No.
Oh, okay, we won't tell her what she did.
It's raw talk, though.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, she decided to go to the bathroom right there on the,
wow.
the house. So is that raw enough for you?
That's
here?
Pretty raw.
Okay. So, you know, and the other one was maintaining pretty good. She was coherent, and this one was just swearing anyway, so I thought, okay, I'm going to go out there, and I handed some, you know, I walked out there, and as soon as I walked out there to the one, she just, in a flurry, started, yeah, screaming at me and running away from me. And then I offered the other one, do you want some juice? And she said, sure, I'll take some juice. And I said, do you want some juice? To the other one, she says, get away from me, and you extreme makeover lady, and all this kind of stuff. And
wow.
So, yeah, but eventually I said, come here, let me talk to you. And I can't do that unless God's putting it on my heart.
Right.
And so I was able to just kind of connect with them, and the one, not so much, but
right.
But the other one, she wanted to receive, and she was hungry for something, and I don't know where she is right now, but hopefully, just being real, and as the one was running away, the more coherent one kept saying, she's good, she's from God, she's got something, let's ask, let's find out what it is, and maybe it was just a sliver, but in my heart, God told me to do it, and that who knows where they are, right, or what happened.
You know, and what that got me thinking about, recently we've had a lot of break-ins in our neighborhood, which has been kind of unusual, and they're still trying to figure it out. And we had a crime specialist come in and talk to our neighborhood association about what we can do. And it was intriguing to me because they said the number one thing you can do to help prevent crime in your neighborhood is to get to know your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And coincidentally, that same Sunday, our pastor said the number one thing that you can do to share the gospel is get to know your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And it just struck me, all this stuff has been happening recently that just has had me thinking about how much we don't pay attention to what's going around us.
Yeah.
We're more concerned with our own little mm-hmm. routines and how much we miss by doing that. And it's had me, trying to pay attention more to my neighbors. Like you said, you see someone out on the street or your neighbor next door mowing their lawn or something. And how often do we just totally ignore that? That's like part of the background mm-hmm. scenery to our life, as opposed to being a part of our life.
I think pay attention to what's really going on in your head.
Yeah.
What's keeping you from going over there? Mm. It could be a number of things. You know, women always think of, well, how do I look? Or I don't know what guys think about,
I'm probably
bothering them. Mm. Oh, yeah, you guys have that nothing box.
So. That's right. Why are you looking at me when you say that?
You can look at both of us.
Yeah. Well, and so those misnomers or those silly ideas in our own head are what keep us from reaching out. Maybe we're afraid of being rejected or...
Right.
And who knows? Just go. Do it.
You know what? Let me give you a picture.
Yes.
Today was a wonderful day. We went to church and experienced, the Holy Spirit and all kinds of good stuff. And then afterwards, we went over to our house and 50 people came to our house.
To the middle house.
To the middle house.
There's four in a row where our community lives.
Right. But anyway, and we had... Every Sunday we eat at meals together, and people from the neighborhood come by, and two girls came by. They were hardcore.
Uh-huh.
I mean, pretty, really hardcore girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they came by, and one of them, her bicycle was broken. And I said, we'll help you fix your bike. And I said, are you hungry? And she goes, oh, man, I'm hungry. So I said, go in the house there and eat. And they went in there, and they ate, and it was just amazing being able to relate to them. On my way to church this morning, I was walking to church. I pull out into the street, and this girl pulls up in her truck, and she says, Pastor, she says, I just really want to thank you for what you're doing. And I said, well, why don't you come and hang out with us today at church? And she was at church. You know what I mean? And so it gives us a real opportunity to have an open door. And what I call it is being incarnational, mm-hmm. Being in the flesh, not in the bad flesh,
right?
But I mean, being real, just being there in your body with people. And so for us to be able to relate to people in that way and to be open to people and not to be closed, to anyone that comes our way, because Jesus said, sometimes it's an angel that you're entertaining.
Yeah.
We need to keep that in mind. We always need to be looking for places. If we're just intentional in our heads about where can I bring God's kingdom? Where can I bring God's blessing? Little boy came. 5 or 6 months ago, he's sitting there and he's watching all the kids ride their bicycles. And he didn't have a bicycle. And so he just looked, and I walked up to him and I said, you don't have a bike, do you? And he said, no. And I said, you know what? You come over this next week and you and I are going to go get you and your brother a bike. So we went to Walmart, bought them two little brand new bicycles. You know what? That little boy goes to our church every Sunday now.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's loving people in a practical way. I mean, we can all talk. And talk is about as cheap as it can be, and it makes me sick. do something about it.
Right.
Well, you know, just do something about it.
I think what we've done, what people are intrigued with is our community, because we've set it up over there to where the atmosphere really makes it easy to have that, hey, come in, you know, whereas we were doing that in our own home and it would begin to wear, you know, and it was hard, but you know, the Lord has blessed us to have a space to call our own, but we still have all of that, all those other houses to where it is community and we can say, hey, come in and have some food. And I think creating a safe environment to where it's safe for everybody and to where we've made it intentional that way, it's caused it to be okay to do that.
Yeah, you know, Gerald, you were talking about, you know, talk is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are talking on Law Talk. I don't know how I should take that. But
well, you're not paying us anything.
That's true. That's how cheap
you are.
We are. Got you here under false pretenses. We had our research assistant, Sorrel, do some research, and it was very interesting what she came up with. 65% of Americans say that they would be willing to serve meals to homeless, but only 12% do so.
Mm-hmm.
51% say they would be willing to tutor or mentor at-risk kids, but only 15% do so. 48% of adults say they'd be willing to build affordable housing, but just 5% have done so. And 53% say it's just easier to give money. And
yeah.
30% say it's easier to give time. 14% say it's equally easy to give both. And I thought that was so interesting because, you know, some of the things that we've been trying to do as a station is, as you have said, do more than talk. And, you know,
yeah.
We've been going down to the Albuquerque Rescue Mission and trying to find ways to partner with them. And that's been a lot of fun. It's been an eye-opening experience. One of the things that Doug always tells us, Doug Chandler from the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, mm-hmm. you guys can comment on this as well, was saying that when it comes to ministering to the homeless, one of the biggest barriers that people need to get past is their fear of the homeless.
Yeah.
Because it's something that's unknown to them. And he says one of the best ways to overcome that is just go be with them. And,
right.
And so we've been doing that. We've had listeners go with us. And it's been a great experience because we've done it in 2-3 weeks now. And we got another one coming up this next Friday. And it's been a great experience, even for me, to be down there. And Doug has been asking me to, you know, share a little devotional before we serve breakfast. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And then I started thinking, oh, wait, I can't use my usual standbys that I'd use to talk with people with, you know, talk about things from a movie.
That relates to them.
Right. How do I say something that relates to all of them? And I was a little panicked by that. And then I asked Doug.
No movies.
What do I share? You know, I'm kind of, you know, make pop culture relevant to people when I minister. And he said, well, number one thing we minister is hope. And I was like, oh. I can do that. But it was a good experience even for me to learn, like, well, I have to kind of readjust how I relate to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, no, I was just kind of, you know, on, like, cruise control. Like, oh, I know how to do this ministering thing. And then, oh, whole new people group. I don't know what to do now. And it's been just great because it's given me a chance to learn how to be more real and also to realize that there's a lot more people out there than the crowd I usually mix with that
yeah.
plays video
yeah.
games and goes to movies. But just to experience that helps you get past that fear. And how has that played into your guys' ministry when people want to come and help you guys, or maybe when you guys got started, I don't know how to do this, and then you just start doing it and you realize, oh, this isn't such a big deal after all.
You know, we made a lot of mistakes.
Mm.
We really did.
Yeah.
You know, just knocking our head up against the wall and going, oh, gosh, why did I do that? You know, kind of a thing. And then slowly through the process, we've been learning a little bit at a time. We actually have a congregation that meets at the Rescue Mission on Sundays.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we started a church there in their chapel. You know, and it's just a small little group of people, but we need people to plug in there. If
yeah.
people are interested in getting plugged into a ministry and helping start a church down in that Braless neighborhood, that's the beginning right there, and we welcome them to come and join us there, you know. But I think that for me, when I look at a neighborhood, I see it as a mission field. We have 70% of the people that live in my neighborhoods are Hispanics. They only know how to speak Spanish, you know. And so we have a Spanish congregation called La Viña that is one of our churches there that operates out of our building, you know. And so we have tried to find the need and then become a part of that need. Friday evenings, we go to the park every Friday evening, and we give out bags and bags of groceries, usually around 3,000 pounds a week.
Wow.
Of groceries we give out. And so it's looking for needs. You know, if a house needs to be painted, what do?
Yeah.
You go paint it. You know, somebody doesn't have a bed, what do? You find a bed for them and you give it to them, you know, and so it's just basically what Jesus did when he said that he was going to come and meet the needs of the people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he has, and he does, and he's continuing to do it through you, through me. He's using us,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is cool. There's a friend of mine that died a while back. His name is John Wimber, and he used to have a saying. He used to say, I am loose change in God's pocket, and he can spend me any way he wants. And I've always remembered that because mm-hmm. that's all we are. You know.
Well, and as far as feeling uncomfortable or not knowing how to approach that situation for a different people group, I remember when it dawned on me that Gerald and I weren't going to be like children's pastors or, you know, something nice and neat in a package. I was sort of dreaming about it before he was doing anything full time and talking to a friend. And she just kind of smiled at me and smirked and said, you don't really know your husband, do you? And I said, what do you mean? She says, honey, he loves the poor. He said, he loves the people that no one else loves. And she said, you probably need to grasp a hold of that right away. Because I grew up in a different environment. I grew up in a typical, American family. And so, the Lord got a hold of my heart and he changed my heart, and being with people that I wouldn't normally hang out with has changed me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've learned what humility is in a whole new way, and I've learned how badly I need God and salvation over and over and over again. And so I look at it as not so much I have this great thing to give, but the Lord is changing me through the process. And I have a brother. My oldest brother is homeless. He's been that way for at least 20 years, and I don't really know him very well because when I'm with him, he's not all there, and so it can be kind of scary. It can be a little bit intimidating because you're not sure if you're connecting. But I would encourage people to get to know, like, go down more than one time, get to know them, and build a relationship with them. And if God will put you together with the right connection, the right person that has maybe a sense of humor that you understand, or you get past the, you know, you begin, they grasp you, and you look like you know what I'm talking about. You probably have a couple in mind that you are associating with that you really wish that you could do something for. And I think that loving them is more than we just really underestimate.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that Steve L. and I have been noticing down at the rescue mission when we've gone there, as we listen to the conversations of the people as they're having breakfast, like our hearts just start to ache, and we start thinking, man, I'd love just to dive in on that conversation because mm-hmm. I know I have something that I can relate to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that I think, especially for Steve L. and I, that's been some of the biggest revelations where we're like, oh, wait a second, I can relate to that, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas before,
mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, okay, I was one of those shallow people where you categorize, you know, the homeless in a certain box. And I thought, well, I don't really know how to relate to them.
Yeah.
I'll, you know, pay for their turkey dinner at Thanksgiving with my little check and send it off in the mail.
Right.
But now all that's changed as we've interacted and mingled. And, you know, I'm not saying that I've done anything radical yet. Now, it's mm-hmm. not like I've sat down and had a one-on-one conversation with anyone in any sort of intense way, but just being in that environment and listening to them talk
uh-huh.
and realizing I can relate to that story. I can relate to that story.
Yeah.
I have something
have
I could contribute. Right.
They have a life and
yeah.
they have, I mean, some of them are probably brilliant. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. And this actually brings up an interesting point because, as everyone knows, we're in very difficult economic times right now.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading some statistics, how people my age, 30s and, you know, mid-30s, younger, out of college or in college, only give about 1% of their income to charitable
mm-hmm.
Organizations. Interestingly enough, you think, well, when I have more money, then I'll give.
Mm.
Well, people who make more than $100,000 a year give less than a fraction of a percent
on a
yearly basis. So obviously that's not the solution. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, we're in tough economic times, and a lot of people are probably already thinking, I'm not going to have enough to give this year because I got to make ends meet. Well, here you guys are saying, well, That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Why don't you just show up instead?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is great.
Maybe he'll challenge those who are thinking that as to how deep their relationship and their trust really is in God as their provider. I mean, maybe, you know, who knows? I mean, to think you don't have enough where we live,
you know,
is,
you know,
crazy.
To me,
there is enough.
We live in a country that has got abundance galore.
Yeah.
It has to do with reprioritizing, revaluing your life. What do I value? What is important to me? You know, if the new boat is important, of course, that's where you're going to put your stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at it in a way that God has called us as a community to a simplistic lifestyle.
Yeah.
To be content and to be happy with very little says that you're really happy. If you've got to have stuff to be happy, then what's it based on? What's the foundation that you're working out of? You know, and so when I look out there and I see the needs, you know, I mean, we gave up our home that we lived up in the mountains. We still have it, actually. We're going to be putting people there.
Right.
But we moved in. Yeah, we moved away from that and moved into what were at one time condemned apartments. And everybody used to say, why would you bring your kids to that neighborhood with the gunfights, with the bullets that are flying? You know, that whole entire thing. And we used to get a lot of garbage from people. You know, well, we did it because God said to do it, first of all. Mm-hmm. You know, but to me, you can't outgive God. You know, I'm not one of those confession guys, all right? We live very humble lives, but we gave up our comfort. We gave up a lot of stuff when we moved here. We had mice and we had cockroaches. I mean, good. Some really wonderful cockroaches.
Gosh.
You know, they would come and live with us and just hang out with us, you know, and
okay.
You know, that whole entire thing. But here's the thing is, you know what? God showed up.
He's an exterminator.
And he blew our minds.
Yeah.
Because now we have an amazing community. There's 20 something of us that live together.
Hmm.
And so instead of just four hands, Lisa's and mine and our kids or whatever, you know, you're looking at 40 or 50 hands that work together in harmony to make a difference in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're planting a vision in the hearts of the people that live in our community that everyone can do something.
Yeah, when my kids heard that we were going on the radio tonight, on your radio station, they started thinking of a whole bunch of things that they could do. Different
I thought
levels.
They were thinking, you're going on with who?
No, they know who Yo is.
Oh, okay.
And they came up with a list of things that they're going to actually post on our website of
oh, cool.
different random acts of kindness. And one of the, they love doing ninja stuff where they do it in
ninja
undercover.
As a random act of kind. Oh yeah. Undercover. Okay.
Oh, undercover is the big deal. And they're calling it Mission 210 out of Ephesians 2:10.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're, you know, from simple things like make your bed every day and don't tell your mom. You know, that's big for a kid to die to self to make their dang bed, you know, and then all the way to stuff from family to strangers to friends to maybe enemies, things that you can do that you would have to die to yourself to do something that's going to change someone's life, if even for your enemy, as you know, whatever that means.
That's a great idea. I was about to ask, you know, okay, how can we get practical and how can we tell people, okay, mm-hmm. here's where you start. People are listening to this. Maybe they're inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're convicted. Maybe they're feeling, that's awesome. They got the list right there. Maybe
yeah.
they're feeling a little sad. And like we started off the program, maybe they're feeling, well, I can't do that much. I can't move out of my home and move, you know, somewhere else.
Right.
And so now they're thinking, but gosh, they're right. I need to do something. And so making a list, I like that. That's a good place to start. What other practical ways can we start doing what we say when we go to church? You know, I mean, that's the whole point of having you guys here and why we're having this conversation, and even for myself, is to start thinking more. Yeah, okay, I can quote Bible verses.
Yeah.
I can go to church and sing the songs.
Yeah.
How do I start living that in a way that people outside of the church will see? Because it's easy to do that when you're around, you know, the congregation.
Right.
We all do that. But how do I start doing that? Like I said, for some people, the missions field may be right next door.
Yes.
Your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
How do we start?
Well, I would say
that?
The first thing is, do you really believe what you believe? How do you know you believe what you believe? I mean, honestly.
Right.
How many Christians walk around and say that they believe it, but when they're challenged, they're not quite sure? I would say you better figure out what you believe and believe it when nobody's looking. first of all. Mm-hmm. And that way, when you feel that pressure or that of the world, and you're kind of embarrassed maybe, or you feel that thing that might be challenging you as to I'm gonna look like I don't fit in, or they're gonna reject me. Get a hold of that first, and then wait and listen to God, and He will tell you what to say, or just be who you are. Because then you don't have to say anything. If He's really active in you, you don't have to say anything sometimes. You just are, because we underestimate sometimes the power of the Holy Ghost just being who He is and being available. I don't know. That would be my first starting place.
I was kind of humbled not too long ago, because we were in the grocery store. And, you know, I'm in there, guys, the way they are, you know, you're a mission shopper. We got an objective, people. We're going to go in and get out as quick as possible. You know, I'm on my mission. And we go in. There's a guy who had like an entire leg cast and, you know, was on crutches. And I saw him walk by again. You know, it's like the background to my scene, the background to the mission.
Yeah.
Like, look, that guy got wounded because he didn't go in. You know, like, I'm on my mission. And my daughter had this this odd look. And she says to my wife, can I go pray for that guy? And my wife says, well, sweetie, you know, we don't want to just go up to people all the time and pray for them. We want to do it when, you know, the Holy Spirit tells us that's what we should do. And when He tells us, then that's, and she says, well, He is. Like, and my wife said, well, if He is, then do it. So she goes over and she tapped the guy and said, can I pray for your leg? And the guy didn't quite know what to make of a little 5-year-old saying, I'd like to pray for your leg. But she did just a quick prayer. Lord Jesus, please help this guy's leg to get better. Amen. You know, nothing fancy. And you could tell the guy was really touched. And he said, you know, no one's ever done that for me before. And I'm over here hanging my head in shame. Man, my 5-year-old notices these things.
And I was going to try to discourage her from doing it.
You know? Well, you know, it wasn't even so much that. It was just like, well, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
And it just, it was a wake-up call for me, like you're saying. Maybe I should tune in a little bit more to what the Holy Spirit is saying, because
that's it.
As far as I know, it's kind of like boing, bouncing off of me because I'm all mission focused.
Yeah.
And okay, well, Yo's a little preoccupied. We'll go to his daughter, and you know, she's not worried about accomplishing the mission. She's a kid.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of man, being childlike noticing stuff, and then not being. I mean, she had no inhibition whatsoever.
Yeah, because she believes.
Right. Man,
yeah.
What a concept, huh?
Yeah. I was like, well, now I know what the Bible means when it says from the mouth of babes. You know,
yeah.
I was like, wow,
confounding
okay.
The
wise. Yep. Thanks, daughter, for teaching me a lesson.
Yeah. That man will never be the same.
You know, like you said, he probably won't be.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened, and my daughter didn't like give him the 4 spiritual laws and then ask him to say the sinner's prayer. She just prayed for his leg, and then we went about our day. He went about his day. Never seen him again.
Mm-hmm.
Was his leg healed? I don't know. It's not really the point. The point is someone said, hey, can I pray for you? And the guy said, wow, no one's ever asked me that before. And I felt like a goof.
Something happened because God did it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, whatever happened was what God wanted to happen. That's the exciting part.
That is the exciting part. And ever since then, I've been, as you have said, much more intentional in noticing things and thinking, okay, what should I do in this situation? And I think the difference for me has been not thinking so much, what should I do?
Right.
You know, like,
what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Your own consultation. Okay, let's see, what can I do? All right, self.
In a comfort zone.
Right, you know, and then it's like, well, no, maybe I should consult the commander in chief, and he could probably give me a better idea of what to do. And it's been a good growing experience for me. In Matthew 10:42, a verse that I've been dwelling on a lot recently because of all this, where it says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. And that verse has just been swirling around in my mind, kind of thinking, okay, a cup of cold water, what would that be for this person?
Mm.
What would that be for my neighbor? What would that be for the guy who has a cast on his leg? And then thinking, okay, what can I do about it? We got the list thing. Yeah. Do you guys have any other ideas about what people can do?
Our kids do this thing called a treasure hunt. They learn it from our Master's Commission team. They get together in a group, and they do. They pray and wait on the Holy Spirit for like probably 30 minutes or more, waiting for pictures, names, direction, whatever, even if it's random, and they write them down, and then they go to wherever it is that they're going to go. They go downtown and they meet, and then they wait for those things to show up. And they go, oh my gosh, there it is. There's the whatever. There's, you know, the two oranges and the apple above, you know, the sign or whatever. We're supposed to tell them about joy or whatever. We're supposed to tell them God's not angry. And doing that with young kids is really fun. It really raises the faith level in adults when they see those things happen and see how actually God is actively involved in our life.
Well, you know, bottom line is, does he talk to us? Can we hear him?
I know there's so many people right now who would love to hear a definitive answer for that question.
Of course.
Well, I believe that he does talk to us, but I believe that he's waiting for us to shut up and to listen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just to listen. How often do we just sit and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do right now? Somebody will walk by. Somebody has a flat tire. Whatever it might be. You know what I mean? And then you step into being part of the solution to the problem. You know, and I have seen over and over and over God show up in so many different situations. You know, I look at our neighborhood and I see what at one time was really a throwaway neighborhood. Nobody wanted to live there. It was bad. And now, it's just really an amazing place to live because the culture is rich. Gun battles are gone. Crime is really, it's improved so much that it blows my mind. You know, I was talking to the police captain a little while back, and he said it's a different neighborhood. You know, and so, you know, my thought is, you know, why is it a different neighborhood? Because Jesus came to town.
Yeah, and if one of our residents was telling me about a book he was reading. Can I say the name of the book?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's called Tipping Points or something, and I haven't read it, so I don't know. But he said that in New York, there was a guy who was in charge of the subways, and he just began by making sure that all the broken windows were fixed, because one broken window promotes another. So he started fixing all the broken windows. Then he began to erase all the graffiti. You know, and he would even, I guess, wait for the kids to take 3 hours to do these amazing murals on it. And then he would walk up when they were done and they were so proud of their mural, and he would go over and he would just paint over the top of it. And so people started understanding, okay, graffiti's not going to happen here. And so small things consistently can change, you know, in a large monumental way down the line.
You know, in the early days when we first moved in, I remember one afternoon, about 40 of us got together and stood in the middle of the road, and we went to the crack houses that were functioning at that time, and with bullhorns and stuff, and we stood in front of their house.
Yeah, we marched the neighborhood.
We marched the neighborhood and prayed the neighborhood, and we said, please, please don't do that in this neighborhood.
I don't think we said please. Did we?
Get the heck out of here. I don't know what we said, you know.
The first version sounded very kind.
Yeah, you know, but nonetheless, what I'm saying, though, is that we looked at the sickness. We looked at the sin. We looked at the darkness, and we said, no, not here in my backyard. You know, and so you've got a neighbor. You've got a person who maybe is just dying because they're deathly ill. Go mow their lawn, man. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, go load them, go get the garbage can and put it out on the street. And when you're done, go take it back, you know, so that this sick person do something.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that also that I was talking about with Doug. You know, I was asking them if they've seen greater traffic down at the rescue mission because, you know, people are starting to have to make tough choices.
Yeah.
Like I was reading earlier this week online, people are starting to have to consider, are they going to get medicine for themselves or their pets? And then some people are, we have to get rid of our pets because we can't make ends meet. And so I was asking them, you know, are more people coming through? He's like, well, I don't know, because some people are embarrassed to admit that they're in that kind of need. And again, that got me thinking about my own neighborhood. How could I be more intentional to notice if someone, you know, because obviously they're not going to tell you. You know, they're not going to, hey, I'm going down to the rescue mission because we can't afford anything to buy, you know, for groceries this week. I just want to let you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. And then they drive. Now, no one's going to tell you that. We have to notice it for ourselves. And I was wondering, you know, how much is that happening here in Albuquerque where we could do something about it if we're paying attention to what's going on in our neighborhoods? Isaiah 58 is another passage of scripture that's been sticking with me a lot recently, pretty much since the first of the year. It's been an interesting year so far. God's been doing a lot of things in my life, and I've been sharing it all on Raw Talk so people know what a loser I am.
How vulnerable you are.
It's kind of embarrassing, actually. In Isaiah 58, starting with verse 6, it says, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and set the oppressed free and break every yoke?" You know, we all know that part. It's like, yeah, woo!
Yeah.
And then one of the things I didn't notice, you know, I'm sure I've read it lots of times before, but never really sunk in, is what it goes on to say in verse 7. "Is it not to share your food with the hungry, and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, here am I." And, you know, that part got me, because, you know, I did a show on fasting and talked about the homeless, and this passage keeps coming up.
Yeah.
You know, fasting, people think, well, I got to deny myself. Yeah. Okay, good.
Right.
What about the people around you? You could sacrifice of yourself for them.
Uh-huh.
And so often we limit being spiritual to, I got to give up something for myself.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
And more and more this past year, hopefully God is making me less of a scumbag to realize that I have so much more that I can give.
Yeah.
And that when I fast, it's not just so I can say, I'm cleansing myself spiritually and being disciplined. See, Lord, but to say, okay, I'm doing this so I can better minister to others. Like our pastor is always saying, you're blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah. You know, my kids, Christmas time, I was so blessed. We were getting ready to open our presents, and the kids said, let's go and hit the neighborhood and give candy to all the neighborhood kids.
Wow.
And they made these little bags with candy and stuff, and we just went from place to place to place. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's what it's about. You know, that's literally what Jesus did. He left heaven to come over here and give. You know, and so it has to do with giving yourself. You know, we are pretty... I hate to say it, but there's a selfishness that kind of functions in our system.
Oh, go ahead and say it.
You know?
I've been confronting that in myself.
Yeah, you know, because it's all about me.
Yeah.
I mean, really, in truth, man, I want so much. You know, oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. Oh, you know, and it just begins to make us sick inside. But when we begin to look outward and become part of a solution to a problem, then I think that all of a sudden value begins to start coming, because we're beginning to reprioritize ourselves the right way. You know, and so it's about giving.
I heard so much growing up about God's unconditional love. Everything's unconditional, unconditional, unconditional. But, you know, when you say in Isaiah 58, then my light will break like dawn, or then I will be your regard, it's kind of like, oh, I have to do this, and then this happens. You know, that tells me sometimes, you know, it's not just me sit back and watch God do what he does. It's like, oh, I see that as an opportunity. You mean I get to do something. I get to give up something,
right.
You know? And, oh, yeah, that's hard. And all of us struggle with that, because he doesn't go after, you know, what may be easy for you to give up. I may look at that and go, oh, my gosh, there's no way. That's hard for me. So it's hard for someone else. He goes after whatever we're holding on to.
When I was in college, I heard a good illustration about when the Israelites were crossing over the Jordan and Joshua was leading them. And it was an illustration of how God doesn't do things always the same way.
Mm.
But the thing that stuck with me more than that was when they were crossing the Jordan, you know, it was at flood stage. There's no way to get across. And he said, take the ark out first.
Yeah.
Well, and then when we were in Israel, we went and we took a look at, you know, where possibly the bank was. But the point was, when they stepped out into the river, they had to step out into the river first.
Right.
And then
the
flow stopped. And when you go to the Jordan, and there are some areas where you're stepping off the bank and you're not like slowly wading in. You step in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know, knee deep, waist deep as you step in. And so maybe that's what they had to do. But the point was, they had to step in first.
Right.
And then God stopped. And how often do we sit around waiting for God to do something?
I'm just waiting on the Lord to
tell me. Hey, I'm waiting. Look, Lord, I'm available.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for you to do something. And I'm available. And and it just keeps coming back to me, ooh, what if I took action first?
Yeah.
And then,
right.
Or, now, I was very intentional in emphasizing the thens, because that's what's been sticking out to me from this passage recently.
And then
God will do this. And then this will happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people sit around. It's like, oh, why am I not being healed? Lord, I've been doing all. He's like, well, do this first. Mm-hmm. And then.
Right.
It's been good for me.
And when Naaman was healed.
Yes.
Oh, I love that story. I mean, first of all, you know, he's this big, important guy.
Right.
And then he gets, you know, kind of sent down and sent down and sent down. It's kind of like, and then, you know, he doesn't even come out to give him the message. He's sent a messenger.
Yeah.
And then the thing that he had to do was not this great, miraculous, you know, admirable thing. He gets to go bathe in the dirty water. So it's like the simple thing. And he didn't just get to do it once. He had to do it 7 times. I love that story because it shows me I can just be obedient and do the simple things, and then God always shows up. He never leaves me hanging.
And what the servant said to Naaman is so applicable to what we're discussing, you know, where he said to Naaman, well, if the prophet would have told you to go do something great and mighty.
Did you get a lot of credit for?
Wouldn't you have done that?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose so. Well, then how much more should you just go do this really easy thing? You know, and how many of us have that same attitude? We're waiting for God to, you know, go out and move the mountain and blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to preach to millions of people.
Right. And
do it to
then
one.
We're told, hey, why don't you go take a plate of cookies to your neighbor to help them feel better?
Well, that's not going
to
do anything.
Oh, man, I don't have time to bake cookies.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you told me to go and be on TV and preach to millions of people, I can make time for that.
Yeah,
you
know,
yeah.
Exactly what
it's
we're going
about
over.
Being simple.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really a simplicity to it. You know, we say, I want to serve God.
Yeah.
Well, do it then.
Yeah.
And what's stopping you?
Go serve.
I mean, really, what is stopping you? You know, because everywhere that you go, there are needs.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care where you go. I love to go to the shopping mall with my wife when she goes shopping. and I love to see her just walk away from me and go to the stores. you know what I mean? And do her thing. And I love to sit and just watch people.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It's amazing. You
I
know.
Often do that myself, holding a handbag that's not mine.
Yeah.
You know, just to watch people and to really look and to really try to understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that guy walking that way? Yeah. And you know what? Because maybe he's got a broken something or, you know, this, and then you can just pray for that. I don't got to go over there. You know, I can pray from where I'm at and I can throw blessings out to people.
Yeah, I love doing that when we're on the motorcycle. Oh my gosh, I feel that urge. Just, I feel like sometimes there's this blanket that follows behind us of our prayers as we go down Central or as we because I'm praying the whole time and I'm looking at people and God does prompt me. Look at that over there, and I look and you know pray a blessing or pray deliverance or and I think to myself, okay. Now, what if, and I believe something happens, and I think something happened, and I may never get to see the result of that, but God said do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I just.
I love that analogy of it. Throwing out blessings. Because
uh-huh.
I remember having a good time throwing out water balloons and how much fun that was.
Yeah.
And then,
like,
hey, throwing out blessings, and they just pop all over the place.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen?
You know, what you do in secret, it says.
Yeah.
Your Heavenly Father sees it.
Yeah.
Well, man, it's been a great conversation. I'm so glad you guys...
Are we done already?
Yeah, time's just about up.
Do we get to come back?
Absolutely. I feel like we just sat down and we're having coffee together, and there just happened to be these microphones in front. And
oh, I forgot about it.
Yeah, what a great conversation. Thank you guys so much for coming by. A couple things that I want to touch on. How can people get in touch with you guys if they want to find out more about Joshua's Vineyard, if maybe they're thinking... Maybe I could go down there and help.
Yes.
Or they want to ask you some more questions about what they could do in their own community because now they think, well, if they could do that there, maybe I could do it in my neighborhood. How can they get in touch with you guys?
Well, first of all, I wanted to tell everybody about what my kids and the young people in our community had come up with. They call in at Mission 210 from Ephesians 210 about the workmanship. And it's on our webpage at www.joshuasvineyard.com. .org.
Mm-hmm.
And they can click on there. And they're just now putting it up right now. And it's going to be under Mission 210 on one
cool.
of the ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And they can email us. And we're beginning to throw stuff up there to make things available. We, two of the things that the Spanish church, our La Viña, have been so faithful in doing is on Fridays, they feed people in the Purple Park, we call
Trumbull
it.
Trumbull Park.
The, the Trumbull Park. Yeah, and they start at 5.
They start.
Because we were just over there.
At 6.
Right. And set up and helping carry things at 5 o'clock. And on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock, we have also food that we give out. And call the church first to make arrangements, because we have been given, a lot of people have been asking to help. We love being the hands and feet of some of those who can't come down.
But the church is at 7737 Zuni. It's on Zuni between Wyoming and Louisiana. It's just an old warehouse. You know, but feel free to come by and hang out, get a cup of coffee, mm-hmm. you know, sit down and we will talk to anybody.
Right.
You know, drive in front of the house and honk, and if we feel like coming out, we'll come out.
Street, we have the four houses, and in the middle area, a lot of people like to stop by in that courtyard area. It's the brown area with the cross over the top. That's the community house, and we're usually available there, or they can call the church.
We're starting a music school, too.
That's 266-9828.
Okay.
All right.
And you're starting a music school? You guys are busy.
Yeah,
Well, the kids in the neighborhood, the stomping and the dancing and the hip-hop and the whole thing.
Yeah, it's hot.
Is happening in that new house that Extreme built, that we're calling it the studio house,
cool.
The fourth house.
Well, the reason being is we really felt like we wanted to give it back to the neighborhood.
Right.
And so we're opening it up, and like this afternoon, the kids were just dancing.
It was packed out in there.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, and so come by and just hang out with us, you know, and we really believe
that it happens out of relationship.
Yeah.
Well, and one other thing that we're going to do, you know, I was talking with you guys beforehand, I want M88 to get involved more, and so we're thinking just for our listeners, sometime in August, towards the end of August, through that month, we're going to collect some food here at the station, and then we're going to take a night and go down to Joshua's Vineyard, and we're going to feed that neighborhood. And I would love to see us be able to collect enough food to feed that entire neighborhood.
There's 48 blocks.
I think we can do it. You know, if God can feed 10,000 with a few fish and loaves, I think we could feed 48 blocks. So be listening for more details on that. We're going to do that right around the end of July, mid-August. And so be praying now, because I think it would be amazing to be able to go down there and say that we fed 48 blocks.
Can I challenge you with something?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Here's my challenge. Okay.
I personally... Okay, this is going to sound kind of mean.
Oh, no, that's
okay.
Fine.
I'm sorry.
No, you know, I've laid my soul bare on the show so many times.
Go ahead.
Be mean to me.
All right. It's easy to come down and feed one time, but what God might be asking some people to do is to build relationship. That's where we get challenged, because you get to know people and you get to know what's good and bad about that person or those people in the neighborhood. And so that's when it becomes hard to... So that's my challenge, is be praying about a connection that you're going to make maybe for the rest of your life, maybe someone that you get to disciple, maybe someone that you get to hang on to forever, not just this one-time feeding. So that's my challenge.
That's a good challenge.
Okay.
That's an excellent challenge. And again, you know, maybe the first step is go next door.
Right.
And then, you know, you do something bigger, and then...
Okay, was like a freak-out challenge, huh?
No, that's a good freak-out challenge. It's good to get freaked out. Well, Gerald and Lisa Martinez from Joshua Vineyard, thank you so much for coming in and sitting down chatting with me.
Thank you.
This is a great time
Thanks
talking with you guys.
Us.
I love talking with you guys. You guys are good. You're good people. You're good people. Well, next Sunday on Raw Talk, we're going to talk about the Bible and why you can rely on it, why you can know that what it says is true, why you can know that it's something that you can build your life off of. And we're going to take a closer look at that with a guy named Dr. Sala. And it's going to be a great time, not to be confused with the character from Indiana Jones. This is a different Sala. And it should be a great time. And then the week after that, we're actually going to talk about martyrs. And all this tying back into the same theme we've been on for quite a while here in Raw Talk. How can we get the gospel out to as many people as possible? And it's just been cool to see how God has used all these various topics that we've covered and all tied them back into that central theme, because apparently that's important to him. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy to be a part of that plan, and God's changing me to realize that. I hope he's been doing the same for you as we've done this together here on Raw Talk. So be sure to come back next Sunday as we take a closer look at our main weapon, our main sword, the Bible, and why it's so trustworthy. Have a great evening in the Lord. Thanks for joining us here on Raw Talk on M88.